It's already the fifth Sunday of Lent. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. So we're here in the heart of this great and holy season. And today on the fifth Sunday, we get to reflect on the amazing account in which Jesus raises his friend Lazarus from death to life. It's a long gospel, but it's a powerful one. It's one of Jesus' greatest miracles. I'm sure people will not complain about a long gospel. In fact, you wouldn't even be here in the middle of a very hot day if you didn't want to hear the word of God. So, yes, people don't usually complain about long gospels. They complain about long homilies. I will try to keep my reflections a little bit shorter if I can. Let me just highlight a few key points, a few vital lessons that will help us through the rest of Lent and through the rest of the journey of life, which is what Lent is all about. The first point, and I think this should be very clear, but let's start with the basics. Jesus has power over death. Jesus has power over death. This is certainly one of the most basic lessons, not only of this gospel, but of our whole Christian faith. Jesus can raise the dead. In fact, he's done it before. Remember, he raised the daughter of Jairus right after she died. He raised the son of the widow as he was that young man who was being taken to the tomb. But this time is different because Lazarus is not only dead, he hasn't just died, he is buried. And he's not just buried, he's been in the tomb for 4 days. So when the disciples think that Jesus means Lazarus is sleeping, that's what sometimes people say, well, maybe he wasn't really dead. Jesus corrects them and he says very bluntly, Lazarus has died. Lazarus has died. His sister Martha says, well, don't open the tomb now. It's already been 4 days that he's been corrupting now. Surely there will be a stench. He'll stink. So this is one of the most dramatic of all Jesus' miracles. And he does it in front of a big crowd. He deliberately makes a sign, a visible sign. And there's no doubt that it really happened. Because if it didn't happen, you just ask anybody, did this happen or not? Did a dead man come walking out of the tomb? Imagine the impact on the eyewitnesses. Imagine what it's like to be standing at a tomb and hear Jesus say, Lazarus, come out, and see the dead man come out. So this happened. Can't make these things up. You'd sound like a fool to say a dead man came up out of the tomb if it didn't happen. Okay, so there's no doubt it happened. Ask the eyewitnesses. Did this man die, and did he come walking out of the tomb after 4 days? Yes or no? If yes, well then this is proof enough of the first point I want to make, that Jesus has power over death. We have to accept this if we're going to persevere at all as his disciples. Very basic. Okay, let's go to the second point. This miracle is not only about death and life, now that's obvious, but it's also, and even more, about faith in relation to death and life. It's a miracle about faith. The historical fact of Lazarus's resuscitation is not the same as faith. That's verifiable. It's connected, but it's not the same. You see, Jesus makes this connection explicit when he tells the disciples that Lazarus has died. He adds this, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. So he tells the disciples, this has to do with your believing. It's a weird thing to say, I'm glad. I'm glad I wasn't there. He certainly was not glad when he got to the tomb. He even wept. But he is glad to move his disciples to greater faith. And he does something similar with his friend Martha, the ate of Lazarus. She expresses her faith in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus pushes the point about faith. Remember, Lazarus is dead. He's in the tomb, and she's grieving. And Jesus makes this very famous and challenging statement, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live." Now, Lazarus is the example. Even if he dies, I mean, Lazarus is dead. Even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. It's an extraordinary thing to say, and it's a lot to say to a grieving woman. Then he puts her on the spot and says, "Do you believe this? Yes or no? Do you believe this?" Why does he do that? Because faith is the crucial difference. Not death or life, but faith. Everyone dies. Every one of us will die. That's not a secret. All of our loved ones will die. All our friends will die. All our enemies will die. Rich and poor, famous and unknown, old and young, everybody will die. But Jesus says the one who has faith will not die, will never die. Now, clearly, he's not talking about life in this world, because we do die. And he says we don't die. So he's talking about something else. He's referring to a life beyond this world, a life beyond death, a life without end, eternal life. See, life here on earth and life without end are not the same. Okay, Lazarus, after being raised from the tomb, is back where he was, back where we are now, in this life. Eventually, he will have to die again. That's not the issue. That's just the human condition. The question is, does he have faith in Jesus Christ, which is the key to life after death? On the other side, we honor Lazarus as a saint. You know, he's a saint. But we don't honor him as a saint because he was raised from the dead. He didn't do that. We honor him because he lived by faith. And after having died twice, he is still alive now in glory. Okay, so the point here is faith. Faith, not coming back to life in this world. Now let's take a third step, a faith statement. And I think this is the most important for us right now. God's great power over life and death, and God's tender love for his friends, for us, they do not prevent suffering and death. That faith is not afraid to acknowledge that that's the case. God's power and his love do not prevent suffering and death. Now, this is so important because many people see, experience suffering and death. They experience their own suffering and the suffering of those whom they love. And they conclude that God is either not powerful or not loving. Because they say, either he can't prevent suffering and death, or he can and he doesn't do it. Which would mean he's not a loving God. He's either indifferent or downright cruel, evil. Because when we love people, we don't make them suffer. That's the logic of it. Now, it's a certain kind of appeal, but this gospel proves that deceptive logic wrong. Because Jesus does love Lazarus. He loves him very much. This is very clear. And he does have the power to heal him. That's very clear. He has the power to raise him from the dead. Very clear. So he does love and he does have power. And that's why when the people see Jesus weeping, they have these two reactions. Some say, "See how he loved him." And then others say, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So let's get this. He loves his friend and he can save him, but he deliberately waits. Why? That's always our question. Why? Why doesn't God do a better job of taking care of us? He could do better. He could have saved Lazarus from a distance, or he could have gone right away and cured him before he died. He could have. Why does he wait? Why does he do it in his own strange timing? Why does he allow the suffering? Well, the mysterious answer, which we can't see fully, but what we can accept if we have faith, is that he's doing something greater than the good we think he should do. His greater gifts, his greater life comes later. And we have to have faith in order to welcome it. You see, Jesus actually uses the suffering and death of his own friend and the grief of his own friends, the sisters. And he uses our suffering and our grief and the death of our loved ones. He uses these things which seem to us like they can't be used for good, but he does. And he uses them in order to promote faith, to foster faith, not only in the people who suffer, but in everybody who sees what happens. And to a certain extent, it works. To a certain extent. What's the last line of today's gospel? Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. So the miracle moves people to faith. Even though they know Jesus allowed the man to suffer and die, when they see the new life, they're moved to faith. So faith makes it possible for us to accept, yes, first, God's great power, secondly, God's tender love and great love for us, and thirdly, his mysterious timing in acting in power and in love, which is not the same as our timing. Faith is powerful because it's openness to God's power, even though we are weak. Faith gives us access to fullness of life, even though we're still here in the valley of the shadow of death. Faith gives us access to love, because God is love. Faith gives us courage to take away the stone, which nobody wanted to do. None of us wants to do it either, because what's behind the stone? Scary things. Darkness, corruption, stench, sin, death. Things that we don't even want to think about. Faith gives us courage to take away the stone and face whatever fear or whatever contradiction or whatever impossibility might be hiding behind the stone. We don't have to be afraid of the darkness and the corruption and the stench of sin and death, because we're Jesus' friends. We're Jesus' friends. He loves us, and he has come to save us from sin and death. Clear from the gospel. So take away the stone. Take away the stone. Don't be afraid. Don't hide anything from God. Don't live in fear of suffering or in denial or in doubt of God's great love. What's the message here? Believe and live.